I have observed how the Lord has put order in the world. The Lord Himself has set things in a... It works well when everything goes according to God's plan. When we step out of God's plan, it doesn't work so well. Have you ever observed a bunch of ants? I've seen them move some mighty things. And generally, it's not just one gets the job done. They all get together and get that job done. One couldn't move it. But you get a number of them tugging the same direction, headed the same way, and they get the job done. I've seen them move large articles of what they considered food to back to their home, and they were able to do that with a conglomerated effort. Well, I say maybe I should say it differently. They were together in this effort. They would all come together and move this. And God wants you and I to observe His order. It's not good enough for you and I to decide what direction we want to take, even as a group. It's not good enough for us to come together and decide, well, I believe in today's world we need to move in this direction. Folks, that's wrong if we just do it according to human thinking. We've got to have God's direction. And God hasn't left us without an inspiration of His Holy Spirit or direction, the ability to communicate to us, to tell us which way to go. It's for us to stand, get alone before Him, personally, unburden our hearts and just leave all that behind and say, Lord, I want to follow You. And He can talk to us and give us that leadership. I'm always encouraged at the number of young people we have around. I've confessed to you right now that I have had a burden that our young people be established in the Lord for years. That my burden goes there because I know that I've been watching the changes. I look right here and there's faces that were here last year that not here this year. There's people who are normally here that can't be here. Some of them died, some of them with illness. There's different reasons. And they're not here. And I recognize that as time goes on, you younger ones are going to be the ones that's going to carry this thing on. And I desperately want you to be established in the Lord. Not in just what Brother Ivan taught or any of the other good saints taught, but in what thus saith the Lord to your heart. I want not just our young folks. It's for every one of us to have an ear for the voice of God and get along with Him enough that we would recognize His voice. Jesus said, my sheep know my voice and they'll follow. A foreigner, they won't follow. I'm talking about a false voice. They won't follow. Because it doesn't sound like the Father. And God wants you and I to be so connected and so used to hearing His voice that it's a sweet sound. Remember we have a song that says, I know the sweet sound of Thy voice. Protect and defend me, for Thou art my all, and in Thee do I ever rejoice. God help us to do that. You young folks, you do all you can to get a hold of God. Sometimes there comes through a territory, it comes through the nation or through us as a people, there can come a wind that people kind of move in one direction. But be careful that you don't move unless it's a wind of God. Stand still. Elijah, wasn't there a lot of things coming his way? Remember when he was up in that cave? There's a great big old impressive wind came by. The wind was strong enough to break rocks. That's pretty impressive. Wind came down breaking rocks and Elijah still hung back here in the cave. Came a fire by. Massive fire. There came a earth was shaking. Everything was pretty impressive. Then there came a still small voice. And he recognized that one. Then he came out, covers his head before the Lord, humbles himself down. Folks, that's where we need to be, right there. There's a lot of things going to sweep around. Oh, listen for that still small voice, that one that you know is right, and follow him. Over here in Matthew 16th chapter, and you know how it starts out. Jesus said in the 13th verse, "At whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say that you're John the Baptist, and some Elias," which is could be said differently, like Elijah. This is what some say: you're John the Baptist. Some say you're Elijah. Others say you're Jeremiah or one of the prophets. He saith unto them, "But who do you say that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed, you're blessed, Simon Bar-Jonah, because the way that you understood and the way that you were able to confidently tell me who I am is that was a revelation that went beyond human revelation. That was from God, my Father. You're blessed, Peter, because God has made himself known to you." Folks, this is essential for all of our life. You will make shipwreck of your life unless you get a hold of this principle right here. And Jesus said it was so important that he said, "This is the rock on which my church is built." And I want to think a little bit right now about the church. I want to delve into that just a little bit, and the word, what the church even means, what the meaning of that word is. The ecclesia is where that comes from, which means the called out ones, those who have been called and they heard the voice. Now this voice that we have opportunity today to hear, that comes from Mount, the heights of Calvary, that comes down to you and I, calls us away from the things of the world. And I know that term has been used over and over and over, where saints are used to the term about the world. We say the world, and we've used it so much it's almost become so commonplace that it's lost meaning to many minds. But I want to tell you what that means. That means anything that's unlike God. And we have named it and tried to identify different aspects of it. And it's not wrong for us to do that. But I want to tell you, God wants you to hear His voice today calling you and I away from the effects of this sinful world. Anything that doesn't look like Him, that's what God calls us out of. And upon this rock is what He builds His church on. It's the calling of the Lord. It's away from yourself unto Him. It's away from the old dead fleshly ways unto the lively ways of the rock Christ Jesus. That's where He points us to. I'm going to tell you today, there's a lot of confusing voices out there today. There's a lot of fire sometimes. Things that are pretty impressive. Winds that blow by that can look very good. But oh, if it doesn't have the sound of the sweet small voice, that still small voice, if it doesn't have the sound of that, leave it alone. If it doesn't have the purity of the blood flowing from Calvary, if it doesn't have all the holiness of God stamped all over it, leave it alone. Oh, but there is a voice calling you and I from that old rugged tree. And it says, "Draw closer to me." And that's what God wants every one of us to do here today. In our life, in all the changing. The song we sang a while ago. Is there a songbook in here, Brother Philip? Here's one right here. Thank you, Brother Randall. We sang a song a while ago that every time I sing it, it blesses my soul. It's blessed me here recently quite a bit. It's just been refreshed, renewed to my heart. The Lion of Judah, the Lamb that was slain, in power and glory has risen again, risen to reign. He only is worthy. None else could prevail to conquer the dragon or open the seal. What's he talking about here? Open a seal? I know it's talking almost in riddles, but it's really not. You know what he opened up to you and I? The book of salvation. The way of eternal life. The army of aliens, all valiant in war, may press hard behind the Jordan before. Oh, looks like I'm not going to make it. Looks like I want to tell you what, folks. The Lord has ordained the plan for you and I to make it. Amen. And I wanted you to think a little bit today. I know, looking at our own strength and looking at the giants and looking at the walled cities, some probably sitting here today have met defeat, have met failure, have come up against the deceitfulness of AIs or the great walled cities of Jericho, and have felt like there was no way to conquer. And they have focused on all the great problems ahead of them, that there is no way they can make it, and have allowed the devil to plant discouragement in their heart to the point that they began to fall by the wayside. I want to tell you today, I want to ask you today to pluck up courage. Quit looking at the monuments before you, or quit looking at the monumental things that have always caused you to shrink and draw back in the past. Look to this one, the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Has he lost his power today? Is he so small that he can't pull down the walls of Jericho yet today? Has he changed the one who said to you and I am the same yesterday, today, and forever? This is the Word of God. Has that been rescinded since Calvary? Has he changed one bit? Has he lost his power? Has the blood begun to fail in 2011? Has it begun to weaken? Are there cases beyond his reach? Are there strongholds in your life that's just too much for God? Must it only be tackled by the weak frivolity of human wisdom? Oh, turn not to the weak and beggarly elements of the world. I want to encourage you and I to take the great wall Jerichos that might be in our lives and bring them intentionally before the Lord. Say, Lord, it's too big for me. You know, when David looked at Goliath, looking at it in human eyes, everyone else was looking at that Goliath in human eyes. And they were trembling. The whole army was trembling. Pulling back, shrinking in fear. Said, there's no way. And a stripling came up who had been singing songs to his Lord over by the sheep. Had been playing on his harp out there. And the stripling came up there and looked at this man. And saw the same sight everybody else saw. But his eyes went beyond to the Lion of the tribe of Judah, folks. That's what he was seeing. He had contact. He recognized the voice of his God, the one he had been communing with out there while he was shepherding the sheep. There's the key, folks. Let's live for him every day. Let's commune with him every day. Then when the crisis comes, I know the sweet sound of thy voice. Protect and defend me. I'm yours. And he will. He will. He will. He said, I will not leave you without a comfort. I will not leave you alone. That word's still true. The Lion of the tribe of Judah. Though armies of aliens, all valiant in war, may press hard behind me the Jordan before, be not disbelieving, nor faint with dismay. The Lion of Judah, the scepter, will sway. Though armies may compass, though legions assail, with him for commander, most of the time we get there. With Him for commander, we can but prevail. The victory is definite and assured. You fail when we fail to follow. That's where we have failure. The failure always comes when we get our eyes off of what He said and onto what I think. When we look at Goliath and say there's no way, well then, there's no way for you. But when I say, Lord, I want the victory. Amen. I'm tired of this thing scaring us. I want to tell you today, the Lord is calling us past the moments of today. The Lord is calling us past the fears of this generation. The Lord is calling us past the wounds of our past. The Lord is calling us with a clear voice yet today for every one of us, young and old, to follow in paths of holiness and righteousness and pursue God with a passion in our soul. He's calling us past the confusions that the devil is trying to stir up in our minds. He's calling us. This is the foundation that He builds His church on. There are some here that may not make it, but you don't have to fail. There's no one here that has to fail. There are some here today that may fail, but no one has to. I want to ask you, are you going to be one of those that will fail? Will you get your eyes on human, manly reasoning? Will you live in confusion? Will you live in the ideas of everything swirling around? Or will you close your... I want to ask you this right now. Will you close your heart and your eyes and your ears and your mind to human reasoning and human confusion and consciously turn your eyes away from that up to this one on Calvary's tree that calls us away from ourselves unto the new man in Christ Jesus? Will you do that? I want to tell you, if you don't, you're probably going to lose. Do you remember the serpents that infested the land around the Israelites? And they were fiery serpents, and they bit people. And everyone who was bitten, they were dying. And they were crying out because they were needing some help. You see, they had fallen. There were some problems they were dealing with. And the Lord sent fiery serpents among them for a purpose. He wanted them to refocus on Him, to repent of the things that they had done wrong. And folks, sometimes we need to repent of the things that we have done. Please don't get me wrong. I'm not talking about making excuse for sin. But sometimes there are places that we have built up in our lives that we need to say, Lord, I'm sorry. And then flee from that and come to the Lord with a hunger and a passion for Him. Say, Lord, lead me in paths of righteousness. I want to follow You. Turn away. And today, folks, when I look back at that story that was over there, the children of Israel, fiery serpents, they were sent in there for a reason to stir them up and to reprimand them, to chastise them for their failure. And then they turned. You remember what the Lord, they began to cry out. They were needing some help. And the Lord told Moses, he said, make this image, this gold, this brazen serpent. You remember that? And what were they supposed to do? They were supposed to look. Now I want to ask you, there are some people here that's very scared of snakes. Maybe not everybody, but there are some people there I know is very scared of snakes. If you have these snakes crawling around your feet, you're going to be able to look up. Some of you here today would have a very hard time. I want to tell you what, if you would fail to do that, you would lose your life. I want to tell you today, there's some things today the devil is trying to send amongst us. Very scary things. And you'll lose your life if you keep looking at it. But Jesus is still above it all. The lion... the tribe of Judah, with him for commander, we can but prevail. Our watchword is victory. I'll accept nothing less. Our watchword, I'm going to keep on going until I get to victory. Who here today is about ready to quit? Y'all ready to throw up your hands and quit? I'm not either. I'm ready to get the victory. I'd be ready, Lord, let's go ahead and go on heaven. I'm ready to make that step. But while we're here, God wants you and I to press the battle on. Don't give up. Our watchword is victory. Our watchword is victory. We fear not the throng. With the Lion of Judah, we're 10,000 strong. Feel like you're the only one left? Elijah did too. I feel like I want to tell you folks, with the Lion of the tribe of Judah, you're a whole lot more. 10,000 strong. Simon Peter answered, said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said to him, Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I'll build my church. And all, this is the gates of hell. Now this hell here he was talking about was all the forces. It says Hades here. That's the abode of the dead, isn't it, Brother Leslie? Isn't that what Hades is? The abode of the dead. So in other words, he's talking about the things that cause death, the beginnings of death, those things that would come against you and I that would cause death, those at the gate, it will not prevail against you. It will not prevail against this foundation right here. Now, this is something that is very important for you and I to maintain. Without it, we will become very confused and separated and all taking scattered positions. You know what makes unity in the body of Christ? If you're in the body, number one. You got to be part of the body. Now that doesn't mean we come together with human coalition and try to form a body. That's not the body of Christ. The body of Christ is when this or that man is born there. This is when there is a new birth that takes place in the soul. The old man is gone. I'm tired of him. That's the reason why I came here for a new birth. I was tired of who I used to be. Folks, there's so many people today that decide, well, it's probably the right thing to do. We'll just kind of turn over a new leaf. Folks, no, there needs to be a change in the heart. There needs to be a rebirth. There needs to be a sickness of sin. There needs to be there come a time in our life that I'm tired of the old change that's bound me. I want to be free. Amen. Tired of these old leeks and garlics. Tired of them. I want something fresh in my mouth. I want something good. I want the manna. Until you come to that point, you probably won't get saved. But God wants you and I to be tired of sin. And then once He saves us, there ought to be such a desire to flee from the wrath.
Yeah.
Stay away from it. And cleave as close to Him as possible. Folks, when I got saved, there was nothing I wanted more than just to sit up close to my Heavenly Father and listen to Him.
Yeah.
Oh, it was a sweetness. And that sweetness hasn't failed since. It's still there. Now, you mature in it, but the sweetness is still there. And I thank the Lord for that. This is the most important place that you and I must maintain yet today is this communion with our Heavenly Father. Without this right here, this revelation, this communion, this knowing back and forth, this communion of I understand, I know the sweet sound, I'm recognizing Him. It sounds like my sweet Heavenly Father. When I lose track of that, I start becoming susceptible to other voices. And when I get too far removed from that, other voices begin to mimic His voice. And I'm in dangerous territory. This is the reason why we need each one individually to maintain a personal communion with the Lord. It's not just enough for us to come here as a group of people and enjoy meeting together. And that's good. I'm not saying don't do that. It's good for us to come together and meet, but that's not enough. God intended, His purpose is that He would commune with you and I when we're alone. What did He talk about? The closet that He wants us to enter into and closing the door. What's that all about? What He's wanting from each one of us is a sweet personal communion that we can have with Him. And in those times, our souls are fed. Our understanding is enlightened. Our ability to discern. Let's go back to the ants for a little bit. Have you ever noticed ants? Oh, they can be so concentrated on their work. Then have you ever put a foreign object or stuck your finger down there or somehow? I've seen them have a path or a highway built, and I've taken my finger and I've wiped across that, and immediately they come up there. And where my finger, the sin of my finger went across there, they immediately stop and their antennas go up and there's some confusion. Because some foreign object, that's called, when that spiritually happens, that's called discernment. Sometimes we're going along here and all of a sudden something comes across like that. Wait a minute. I never saw it. But something doesn't smell right. Have you ever had that? Something different, something, and when it doesn't smell right, it's time to back off and wait. Where dost thou, dear shepherd, resort with thy sheep? To feed them in pastures. I want that place, Lord. It's important for you and I to have discernment. You know where you get that discernment? In that closet we was talking about a while ago. Go in there and close that door and spend some time with Him. And then when you come out of there, all you're used to the aroma, the perfume of the Lord. And then when we go out from there and anything foreign that doesn't smell like Him, that maybe something else can come out that can be very impressive and say, oh, I'm your guide. I'm your Heavenly Father. You don't smell like Him. And so we back up. Now, I know I'm using that metaphorical pictures right now, but I want to tell you that happens spiritually, folks. And God wants you and I today to be so accustomed to having this communion with Him that anything that is foreign, it begins to be identified. We recognize it. It doesn't smell like Him. Doesn't have His aroma. Maybe it's dressed all up like Him and appears on the outward appearance. First glance, it can look very closely. But something's not right. God wants you and I to be endued with a discerning spirit. He does not want us to be here all just cast adrift without any direction. No, He didn't leave us without some direction. He left us with His Holy Spirit for the express purpose of giving us discernment and direction in our life. Upon this rock, I will build my church. The church again being the called out. Being His voice calling you away from all things that are unlike Him. Young folks, you can say, well, what have we always taught on? I want to tell you what we've taught on all these things. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Does that give us license just to try every vile thing? No. Yes, God will let you do it. But the vile things that you go out and you indulge in, things that are unlike the Lord, there'll be a penalty to that. God doesn't give us license to go out and indulge in every vile thing. He said, oh, that's okay. He's still my child. No, God hates sin. And sin defiles. And sin cuts us off from the Lord. It takes us out of His saving grace. That doesn't mean we can't come back. But we need to know that when we go out and indulge in the worldly things, in the worldly endeavors, it has a penalty. I have heard some people today say, well, I feel so free. I've just rejected all traditionalism. Folks, you should not ever have had traditionalism. You should have had something real. And generally when they say that, what they're really saying, that I've decided to try anything out there, and I've just opened my heart to anything that can come in. And I want to tell you what, the devil sees that and he'll come right in there. He'll take advantage of that. And you look at it and say, well, what's so wrong with that? Why 90% of the Christians do that? Why all the other young people do that? Does it smell like him? I want to ask you, before you do that, before you take that position, does what you're getting ready to get involved in, does it look like holiness? Does it smell like God? Does it have the stamp of purity all over it? Is it producing fruits of righteousness? If it is not doing that, recognize it for what it is. It's the poison of Satan. And turn from it. And say, Lord, I need you. I want your leadership in my life. I need your direction. I want to tell you, the Lord will lead you away from the land of bondage into the land of liberty, right up to the walls of Jericho, with direction in your life, telling you what to do. And though it makes no sense to all your other friends, and you might look like a fool while you're walking around there, the walls eventually fell because they did it through obedience. And God wants you and I to face all these things in our life. Perhaps today, more than likely today, there are people sitting right here in this audience that have come up with places in their life where they've had failure after failure after failure. And I want to tell you, it's not the will of God. And God wants to give you power to overcome. The lion of the tribe of Judah has not lost his ability to cause his children to be victorious. He has not lost his power. When he read from Isaiah, what was that, the 61st chapter of Isaiah? Where was it? The book of Isaiah was delivered. 61st chapter of Isaiah. Luke 4, where he began to read that book. And you remember what?
This day this scripture is fulfilled.
That's right. But let's go ahead and turn over there and get what it was that he read. No, let's go over here in Luke. Luke, the 4th chapter. And this... Listen to what he said. 18th verse. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. This is what he began to read.
Yeah.
In the book of Isaiah, he opened it up. And he began to read to the people, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance. Do you think he was just speaking words? Or was the lion of the tribe of Judah actually able to perform what he said? Is our faith so self-centered today that we cannot rise above the walled places in our life and not look above that and see one that says, if you'll let me, I'll help you? The one who said, sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to those who are captivated, those who feel like there's no hope. Later on, well, let's go ahead. Deliverance to the captive, the recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those that are bruised,
to preach the acceptable year of the Lord.
Yes.
And he closed up the book and gave it back. I suppose the congregation had heard those words many times before, but nothing with the inspiration that was read with today. I believe in the hearts of many a person there that day, they had had places in their life that they knew and they didn't want to reside there any longer. And probably over and over and over felt the hopelessness of their prison house. But this day, there were some words that came down from God out of heaven. Yes. And began to ring out over the congregation. And they, when he rolled up the book and he gave it, the eyes of all those, the hopeless captives, hope began to kindle in their bosom. And the eyes of all of them were fastened on him. Closed the book and he gave it unto the minister, and he sat down, and the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say to them, Today, it's here. Oh, thank the Lord. I want to tell you today, that day has stretched out for the next 2011 years. It's still available.
Amen.
Thank the Lord, Brother Randall, it's still available. It's still ours today. We don't have to huddle in our corners afraid of the bruises of life or the blindness or the failures of our past or the prison that seems like there's no way I can get out of. Don't have to do that any longer. Jesus said today it's fulfilled. Today.
Yes.
Is the day of salvation. The Lion of the tribe of Judah is still calling all those who will, calling us away from our selfish selves, calling us away from my confusion of mind, calling us away from the pains of my heart. Sometimes pains that God wants us to turn loose of.
Yes.
Folks, I understand. I know. I haven't had your pain, but I've had mine. And I know sometimes those things can almost seem precious to us. That sounds strange to have pain seem precious to us, but sometimes we hold it so dear, we cling to it so tight. God sometimes just wants us to turn it loose. He said, I came to give you some healing to your bruises. God wants us to give it to Him. Oh, but this pain has... Oh, but I go to services and their faces are still there and they know they hurt me. Well, whether they did or not give it to the Lord.
Amen.
And they meant to, but whether they meant to or not, just turn it loose.
Amen.
It's nothing worth holding on to now. Don't you know we're desperately seeking to make heaven our home? And nothing is worth letting stand between us and the Lord. This church is built. This church is made up of all those who have heard the call, the clarion call, the trumpet sound to our hearts that calls us away from all of this. Unto His holiness. Unto His sweet presence. Away from me. Unto Him. I know we try to say it so many times in so many different ways. Called it the world. The old flesh. Carnality. Selfishness. But folks, anything that has the taint of anything that doesn't look like Him, God wants to chip it off. God wants to cut it off. Has the Lion of the tribe of Judah lost his power to do so? No, indeed not. Has his arm shortened that he cannot save?
No.
Indeed not. Can we yet trust His promise? When He says He can cause you and I to stand, can we anchor our hope on that? Yes, we can. But folks, I don't care what the devil may have tried to tell you, or how fearful you might think of, I don't know what's going to be happening. Doesn't make any difference what's going to be happening. You look toward heaven. Saints, everyone here that's hear the call, that goes beyond what we might be going through now, God wants us to build on something more. He wants us to build on a communion with His heavenly, with our Heavenly Father, with a way that's been opened up to the death of His Son on Calvary. That's what He wants for every one of us. We must build there. We must build there. If we try to build on anything, any other foundation, anything other than that, we can never have unity. Unity is created is when you hear the sweet sound of His voice and you follow the sweet sound of His voice and I hear the sweet sound of His voice and I follow the sweet sound of His voice. That's what creates unity between you and I. And without that, we can't create unity. Without that, we cannot create unity. You don't agree with that? Well, hear the amens. Now, I don't want to cause you to say amen if you don't feel that. But I want to tell you, this is the way it is. If we are not following the Lord with a passion and a hunger of our heart, there is no way I can create unity over that. It cannot be had. But it is, in fact, had in all those who hunger and thirst after righteousness and will have nothing less. Then, as we passionately seek Him, talk about running the race, this Christian race. Oh, I'm running that I might obtain. Oh, then I start hearing the breath of another brother. Somebody over here. Oh, he's praying. God, I need you. I look over there. Had never met him before. But I hear his hunger of his heart. Oh, I reach over there. Brother, let's go this way together. Oh, yes. Maybe never met him before. But he's hungering after it. Same thing I'm hungering after. That's unity. We can try to come together with human coalition and say, well, here, let's all stand together here on this point and this point and this point and leave other things alone. That's human reasoning and human coalition. And human coalition is a poor excuse for godly unity. Do you understand what I said? Human coalition is a poor excuse for godly unity. Maybe I said it differently. It's a poor substitute. That's what I should really say. It's a poor substitute for godly unity. God wants you and I to build on this rock right here for every one of us individually. And you young folks, when I see you hungering and thirsting after righteousness, there is something inside this fellow's heart. When I see a young man or a young woman getting a hold of God, oh, it blesses me. Yeah, I'm glad when I see anybody doing that, but something special when I see a young person getting a hold of it, folks. Now, I don't diminish. Oh, but my hopes, I'm so hopeful for our young folks. Oh, when I see them getting a hold of it. You young folks, get a hold of God. Oh, you may think that I might be sometimes a little hard and a little harsh. I don't set out to try to be that. But I do want you to know, anytime you look at Ivan, or Brother Ivan, whatever you want to call me, I believe you're going to see somebody, young folks, that really wants the best for you.
I want you to make heaven. If you can get past all my hardness sometimes, I want you to make heaven. And I want you to get a hold of God. And I want this right here is where God wants us, right here. That personal revelation. That personal communion. Upon this rock I build my church on all forces of death. The places, the abode of the death. All of that cannot have an effect on you. I now am dwelling on a rock. On a stone that's been tried. It's unmovable and it's true. Have you ever thought about this stone? The builders disallowed it. And disallowed indeed of men. But it was chosen, tried stone. God chose it. And this stone is true and it's straight. You begin to build your... There's a lot of things you can build your life on. Some Leaning Tower of Pisa was built on something they thought was solid, but it began to tilt over the years. But you begin to build your life on the rock Christ Jesus. You build stone upon stone, line upon line, precept upon precept. Here little and there little. You begin to build upon this rock Christ Jesus. Pretty soon you're going to have a structure that glorifies God. Something that looks like Him. Something that reminds everyone, oh, look at the monument that God has built. It looks like Him. Oh, we lost Brother Veda not very long ago. I know there's some older ministers here, don't get me wrong. But mentally, in my mind, he's one of the last of the old guard. I'm sorry for saying it in such human terms. But when he died, I'm glad that he got his crown. I wouldn't call him back for anything. But I already miss him. I appreciate his faithfulness throughout the years. When I first got saved, Brother Veda, his personality was not of one that would... He wasn't a fiery preacher. If he preached this to us in the afternoon like now, we'd probably all be wanting to go sleep. Don't get me wrong. He was a wonderful man. A godly man. When I first got saved, I appreciated him then. But the more I watched him, the more I began to observe his life and go over there and talk with him and get his counsel, I appreciate the man. Who are you going to be? A void where the Veda's gone. And nobody's really going... You're not supposed to try to fill his shoes. But God wants you and me to stand up. And when he gets through chipping away all self off of me, and when he gets through chipping away all self off of you, and he begins to glorify and polish the image that is shining, his image shining in our lives, and when we come down to the end, we can say like Brother Paul, and I believe like Brother Veda would have been able to say, oh, there's laid up a crown for me. I see it's just almost within reach. And he's gotten his crown now. And I'm grateful that he has. But God needs some other faithful people who will intentionally stop up their ears to any voice other than his. That will put their fingers in their ears when the voices of confusion are whirling around. And sit down and wait for that still small voice. And then when the still small voice comes by, come out unto him. Cover our head with humility. What would you have me do, Lord? And then whatever he says to do, just do it. Just obey him. This is the way he builds his church. The gates of death will not have effect on it, will not prevail. If you and I will follow hard after the Lord, seek His face, learn His voice, follow the impulses of His sweet Spirit as He draws us unto Himself. Allow Him when He exposes places in our life that don't look like Him. Does He ever do that to you folks? God wants to if He hadn't been. Let Him do it. When He exposes places in our life that doesn't look like Him, let it be removed. Don't hold it to our hearts. Don't cherish those places. Turn them loose. Let Him mold and shape us. And you young folks, I want to tell you, I have a lot of mercy on you. I just recently looked back and remembered some of the things when I was young. And I thought, why did I do that? And I look back on some of those things and I hang my head today in shame and like to forget it. But I believe sometimes the Lord would like to remind me of that because it helps me have mercy on some others. But this one element, one thread of godliness that has to run through every one of us. I'm desperate to serve the Lord. I'm desperate to please Him. Oh, I need You, Lord. I want to be like You. And if you mean that with all your heart and daily take up your cross and follow Him, daily seek the Lord, you follow, you hunger and thirst after Him, I want to tell you, when you get old, you turn around and realize that, oh, the Lord has led me. Oh, and then you can be like Paul and say, there's a crown. Oh, I fought a good fight. Finished my course. How do we do it? Not in our own strength now, folks. The Lion of the tribe of Judah. The one who said, this day this scripture is fulfilled in your ears. Freedom for the captive. Healing for the bruised. Direction of life. A way to make heaven. Come unto me. Follow my sheep, know my voice. And they follow. This is what He builds His church on. This is where unity is created. It's in connection with the Father. With all of our heart. Pray for me. I want to make heaven my home.